Just before we turn to God's word, let's have a short prayer together. Father, teach us from your word just now, that we may, Lord, go and teach others the greatness and the wonder of who Jesus Christ is, for we ask it in his name. Amen. This morning I want to speak to you about this nobleman's son. But really, I don't want to speak about the nobleman's son or the nobleman. I really want our focus to be on Jesus, where it should be. And to do that, this morning I think we have to look back and see where Jesus has come from. And we have to set a little bit of context to what has been going on. And so we have to remember that Jesus Christ is the one who is eternal, the one who is coexisting with God, the one who has come from heaven and has lived among men. And we see that in John chapter 1, verse 1, don't we? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we find this, that here is Jesus Christ who is among men, and yet it tells us in John 1, verse 11, that he came to his own, and his own didn't accept him. And we find that this is one who is called Jesus of Nazareth, who was rejected even in his hometown. If you were to read Luke chapter 4, you'd find this, that Jesus was in the synagogues, and he was teaching, and he was being glorified by all. But when he comes to Nazareth and opens the book of Isaiah and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," after he sits down saying, "This is the word of God which has been fulfilled in your hearing," they take him out of the city. They try and run him over a cliff. And so Jesus says here, even in John chapter 4, that a prophet is not without honor in his own country. Jesus is rejected. And we find that Jesus is one who's about to move from his hometown and under his mother's house to Cana of Galilee. And we find his first miracle is there in chapter 2. Where he goes to Cana and he turns the water into wine. That was the first pointer, the first sign of who Jesus Christ was. And after he comes to Cana and does that wonderful miracle, he heads to Jerusalem for Passover. And at the Passover, you remember how Jesus clears the temple and how he tells people that my Father's house will be a house of prayer. And we hear that famous saying that Jesus says that man came to him and he said, "In 3 days you will destroy this temple, and in 3 days he will rise it up." Jesus speaking of his own death and his own resurrection. And Jesus knew the hearts of men. And if you were to turn to chapter 2 and verse 24, you'll find this, that Jesus knew the hearts of all men, and they saw signs and wonders there. And they truly saw those signs and believed them. But in John chapter 2 and verse 24, he says, he knew their hearts and he didn't commit himself to them. See, there were those who were coming before Jesus and they wanted some sort of tang, some sort of experience of signs and wonders. They wanted a tingle down their back. They wanted something visual that they could see, but they didn't put their trust in Jesus Christ. Then we have that famous incident in John chapter 3 where we have Nicodemus, a rich man in the things of God apparently, one who was spiritual, a spiritual ruler, a religious man, and yet Jesus said to him, "You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You must be someone who has something happened within them, transforming them, and that is Jesus Christ." Here is a respectable sinner, but a sinner nonetheless. And as we move on from Nicodemus, we find then there is one who is an immoral woman, the woman at the well. And Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." And she says, "What have you got to bring to draw off water with?" And Jesus says, "I am not living water. Water that you'll find that you'll drink of me and you'll never thirst again." And so we have one who is a religious leader. We have one who's an immoral woman. And now we have this royal official who comes all the way from Capernaum to Jesus. And so here is the context that is set before us, that actually there are those who believed in Jesus. There are those from Samaria who believe. There are those like that immoral woman who have put their trust in Christ. And there are those who are still seeking signs and wonders because they've seen what he did at the feast in Jerusalem. And I wonder who you are this morning and where you stand before God. Have you come here this morning to see some sort of sign and wonder from the front? Some sort of miracle happening before your very eyes? Or have you come to believe in Jesus Christ? For this is what it's all about this morning. And every morning we come, we're searching our hearts to find, do we truly believe in Jesus Christ? Do we have faith in this Jesus who is the Son of God? Or is our faith based on something else? Christ came proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Christ knew all men's hearts. And either we're convinced by his words and put our trust in him, or we're left wanting more to see what else this miracle worker is going to do. As we return to Cana of Galilee this morning, we see that Jesus is going to come in front of those people who would honor him in Galilee. Because it says in verse 45, he came to Galilee and the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast. Oh, they were celebrating Jesus Christ has come back to our region. He's come back to us. But did they believe in him? Every week we can have the word of God proclaimed to us. We can read it for ourselves. We can have the public declaration and explanation of Scripture. But yet, do we really believe? Jesus put his finger on the pulse in verse 48. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Contrast that with the Samaritans, those from Samaria. Because you look back and the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word that what he had said. I wonder who you believe in and what you believe. Let's have a little look at these verses together. Because we're going to see some things about this royal official that Jesus knows all about. It says in verse 47, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for his son is at the point of death. I want you to see, first of all, this man's desperation. Here was a man who was coming down because his son lay sick of the fever. And he was dying. And he came to Jesus Christ because he had heard he had come to Judea. He heard he had come back to their region. And he was coming to implore him. Here was a royal official, probably from the court of Herod Antipas. And here he was, one who would have all his servants, one who would have the best of house and the best of robes, the best of everything, and yet he was in a hopeless situation. He was desperate. No doctor could heal his son. No one in the government or in political power could make his son better. Nothing that he could do could help. He was desperate. I wonder, in your life, have you been desperate? Have you come to your wit's end? The end of yourself where you can't do anything and you've realized that actually there's nothing that you could do. You're in a horrible, terrible situation. And actually you see what this man does. As soon as he hears about Jesus, he goes to him in his desperation. But notice when you get to the end of this little reading, that you find this desperation, this desperate faith, it actually is turned into saving faith. And he himself believed, and his whole household. It started with that desperate, my son is ill. And I'm sure you've had a child, and if you've had a child, you know what it is to have a child who is ill. You would move heaven and earth to heal them. And this man, in his desperate situation, was going to go to Jesus Christ and ask him to come with him and come back those 20 to 25 miles to Capernaum. I remember a story of a lady who was caught up in the 9/11 atrocity. She was in the World Trade Center. And she recounted that under the rubble, she was left there and she made promises to God and called out to God in her desperation. If only God would save her, then she would believe. She knew about God. She was brought up in the church. However, she didn't trust in God in a saving way. Once after she was in that hospital recovering, she found herself again thinking about what had happened to her. And she was not a Christian yet. The day came when she knew that out of her desperation she had called out to God, and yet she was rescued. But she needed true rescuing from the Son of God. And you know what, this morning as we look at this portion of Scripture, here was a royal official and he needed help with his son. But little did he know, but his soul needed help from the Son of God. That actually Jesus knew his heart. He knew all about him. And actually his soul was just as important as his son. I wonder this morning, are you someone who's in a desperate situation? Do you have something going on at home or in the workplace that has brought you to your wit's end? You know you can't handle the situation. Well, there's no human cure or remedy apart from Christ this morning. Have you heard of what Christ can do? It's not only signs and wonders, but Christ can totally transform your life. The one who turned water into wine also is the one who died on a cross so that he could bear your sin and mine. You see, for this royal official, he was going to see the real Jesus. The one who could not only heal, but the one who speaks a word and it happens. Just like it did in the beginning. Desperate. Desperately seeking after this Christ. I want you to notice, secondly, something else that has happened here. That as you see this man coming to Jesus, he implores him to come down. And then Jesus says to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Then the nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. You see, there's not only desperate faith, but there's persistence here. You see, this man, he hears Jesus putting people off, those who are around him, who are just there for the sign and the wonder. He says, you people are here just to see something wonderful, aren't you? And this man had a genuine case. God hears the cries of his people, as we heard in Psalm 17. And here is one man who's a royal official who cried out to God twice, and Christ heard him. He needed real help from the carpenter of Nazareth. Just like Nicodemus needed real help from this Jesus of Nazareth. Just like the immoral woman in Samaria needed real help from this Jesus of Nazareth. They're all coming to Jesus Christ. Coming as they are. Coming and finding out that they've got a desperate need. I wonder this morning, do you believe that Jesus Christ is more than just a miracle worker? Do you really believe that Jesus can save us spiritually? For I got to think about this man's walk from Capernaum to Cana, 20 miles. 20 miles to walk and then to hear, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. It was said to him. And yet Jesus, who is the Almighty One, the Anointed One, spoke. And he says, go your way, your son lives. I wonder this morning, are you someone who has come to Jesus Christ and you've kept on asking him to save your child? Just like that little woman who came to the unrighteous judge, she persisted. Here is a man who's imploring Jesus, come with me, come with me, come with me, so as my son can live. He might have came for selfish reasons, but Jesus knew. I was speaking to a man this week and he said he had first come to church because he'd seen a nice girl. I wonder how many of you have done that. She was pretty, and he liked everything about her, and yet the Lord saved that man from his sin. He thought his need was to have a girlfriend, but God's purpose was that he had a Savior. This man came because his son was ill, but yet Jesus had grander ideas. Your soul is lost. I don't know why you come to church, why you persist in coming. But maybe it's not you came out of selfish reasons, but Jesus says, I've come to save you. Isn't it wonderful that this man, who is so worried about his son, goes home and believes? Notice something further here. Because we find here that actually when Jesus says, go your way, your son lives, we find this man is obedient. He is desperate. He is persistent. Now he is obedient. And it says here, so the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and he went his way. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine for one moment leaving Jesus Christ behind when you wanted him to come with you? Can you imagine for one moment having to make a trip of 20 miles home to see whether your son has or has not been healed? This man had to have real faith in Christ's words. No one was able to verify whether this boy was made well until he got home. You know what simple faith is? It's an acknowledgement of Christ's words, putting your trust in their worth, and then going and doing what he says. Simple faith is acknowledging that Christ's words are the worthy words, and then doing what he says. So when Jesus says, go away, go your way, your son lives, he goes. And he heads home. And I wondered about that little trip back. On the way there, I'm sure he was worried for his son. And all he was consumed by was getting help. Getting the right help. And now he was leaving saying, I'm going to trust in the words of Christ. In fact, I'm trusting in the words of Christ. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 reminds us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which were made of the things which are visible. In other words, we find this, that actually faith is trusting even when we can't see with our eyes. We walk by faith and not by sight. This man was walking home. He He's walking home trusting the words of Christ. He had faith in Christ. And I wonder this morning, do you have faith in Christ? Do you really trust him for your soul? Has he really removed your sins as far as the east is from the west? Because can I tell you this morning that we can be desperate. We can be persistent. We might not be so obedient. But you find this, that we put our trust in so many people, and yet we don't put our trust in Christ like we should. I wonder when the last time you went to a bank to put in a check. You know, you walk up to the cashier and she takes it and puts it in your account, and your account comes up on the screen and it says your name, your address, your date of birth. Everything about you is on that screen. She even knows your bank account number because you've given it to her. You put your trust in her. You put her trust that she's not going to steal your money. And then when you do this, every time you enter a restaurant for something nice to eat, you put your trust in the chef. The one who's delivered the food, the one who has cooked the food, the one who brings it to your table, and you don't question it at all. And yet sometimes when we hear the words of Christ, do we trust his word? Do we depend on it? Like this man did. Go your way, your son lives. He doesn't see it, he just goes. He heads down that road, believing the word that Jesus has. Oh, we can trust so many people to help us. We can trust so many other people to do us good. And yet, Jesus Christ, do we really trust him? This man did. He wasn't looking for more evidence. He wasn't looking for signs and wonders. He heard the word of Christ and he believed. And so this morning when we hear the words of Christ, when he says, all those who come to me, I will by no means cast out. Do you believe it? Do you believe if you came to Jesus Christ this morning and put your trust in him because he died for you, that he would take you as his own son, that he would take your sin and add it to his account and give you his righteousness into your account and you'd be saved from your sin? Do you believe it? He'll not cast you out. Do you believe the word when it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved? Do you believe it? That this morning if you called out, God, I need you to save me from my sin, that he would do it. You see, Christ hasn't just come to be your pal. He's come to be your Savior and your Lord. He's more than just healing a son. He's more than coming and saying to people that I do signs and wonders. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, has come to die in your stead. I wonder this morning, are you very sure that you have faith in Jesus? You're really trusting him? Desperate. Persistent. Obedient. And a final little word. The final little word to see is this word salvation. Because we find this, that when he goes down this road and he sees his servants coming to meet him, they tell him, your son lives. Little did they know, but they could have said back, I live in Christ. My life is hidden in Christ. And he inquires of the hour of when he got better. And he said to them, yesterday at the seventh hour, which is 1 o'clock. And we find this, that here is a father who knows that Jesus' word is trustworthy. I wonder, do we know that Jesus' word is trustworthy? We could put our faith in him. That our desperate situation can be removed because we are in a dire situation with our sin. This man trusted in Christ. This morning, Christ's words are trustworthy. Have you trusted in him? Have you asked him to remove your sins? And even now, if you're a believer, do you still live for him in faith and obedience to his word? For his word says, do not just be hearers of the word, but doers also, unless you deceive yourself. There are times, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, when we can be desperate. Jesus Christ is the one you can trust. There are times where we need to be persistent. Jesus Christ is the one you can trust. There are all the times to be obedient to his word and his name. Oh, we can trust in Jesus' word. But I wonder this morning, are there those here who need for the first time to have this salvation? He himself believed personal salvation in Jesus Christ. And then those who were under his household, they believed. We're told his whole household, so whoever his servants were and whoever was under his roof, they believed personally. I wonder, do you believe personally? Do you believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, was born of a woman, born under the law? Do you believe he came and he lived and walked among us, and he lived a perfect life? And he went to that cross for you. And he died for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of the whole world to be that atoning sacrifice, that propitiation. Hey, Jesus just didn't come to heal this royal official's son. He didn't just come to give water to a woman, natural water. He didn't just come to speak to a Nicodemus. He came to save their souls. What about you? He come to save your soul this morning? And has he saved your soul? And if he has saved you, oh, praise the Lord. Give him the praise that he deserves, because actually, sometimes we come to church to see signs and wonders and we're left disappointed because we've seen Jesus. Oh, he is not a disappointment. You see, this morning, we all need to be like that royal official. I am in need. He can help me and save me. I will come to him. I will ask of him, and he will take me and show me what I need to do. In fact, he will show me his cross for what he has already done. Let me finish this morning by telling you a story about an American. And I know there's Americans here this morning. This is for you. A little guy called Todd. He got mixed up in the wrong crowd at university. You go out and get drunk with the rest. But yet this guy Todd, he was more of a different stature to the rest. He would pretend to get drunk. And one night, there was a night where he was traveling home in the car, and all the rest were there was a drunk driver driving. And he had to take the wheel and to save those in the car and himself. And he promised that he would never, ever do that again. A few weeks later, it happened again. It's a party. Come on, let's go to the party. And he made a promise. And he remembered that promise. And from his desperate situation, he had prayed and he had promised. And he had said to God, I will never do it again. And actually, it turned into saving faith. Because once it was desperate, because he was in a desperate situation. And now he was saying, Lord, I'm going home. I'm not living this way any longer. He had seen the emptiness of life without a Savior. This morning we must see exactly the same, that in every situation of life we'll find ourselves to be empty without Christ. In all of our desperate situations every day, we'll find ourselves in desperation and without help. But But yet there is one. There is one who we can put our trust in completely and fully. His name is Jesus Christ, the one who is the Savior, the one who we can put our faith in. Christ willingly saved this man and his son from death. I wonder this morning, will you come in your desperation? Will you come with persistence and obedience and receive salvation? There's a little hymn that used to sing. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in His Word He has shown us the way. Here in our midst He is standing today, tenderly saying, come. Think once again, He's with us today. Heed now His blessed command and obey. Hear His tender accents saying, will you, my children, come? This morning we have met Christ through the Scripture pages. That little hymn says, joyful, joyful will that meeting be. When from sin our hearts are pure and free, and we shall gather, Savior, with Thee in our eternal home. All because of Christ and His death and His resurrection. Are you desperate? Are you being persistent? Are you being obedient? Has Christ saved you? I pray this morning that God will open your heart to trust in Him, maybe for the first time. Or this morning you may come and repent and ask God to give you that fire in your heart again, to look to Jesus and to see He is your righteousness. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we give You thanks that, Lord, we can come to You and trust in You by faith through grace. And we pray this morning that in Christ Jesus we will know for a certainty that we have eternal life. Oh, Lord, we thank You for Your word, how we can trust You. We thank You we can turn to You even in our desperate situations and find that You are sufficient for us. Lord, we don't need signs and wonders, but we need Christ to be the center of our lives. We thank You this morning He can be. And Father, we pray, Lord, if there are any here who need the Savior, may they turn to Him. May they trust in Him. And Father, will You help us, even as believers, to take You at Your word, to remind each one of us that You will neither leave us nor forsake us. That, Lord, You hear the cries of a righteous man. That, Father, You will not cast us away. That, Lord, we can cast all our cares on You. That, Lord, Your word is sufficient for us. Help us to believe. Father, help our unbelief. For Lord, sometimes we just don't trust Your word as we ought. Father, we thank You this morning that Your word is a living word. It's active. It's like a double-edged sword. It shows the intents and the attitudes of the heart. And Father, we thank You. You know why we come, whether it's to see signs and wonders, to be convinced, or whether it's to hear the words of Jesus Christ, go Your way. Son lives. Father, give us the faith that can remove the mountain to a plain. For we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Let's close the service together by singing 794. A very well known hymn that we all should know. When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. and to those who will trust and obey. And we'll remain standing as I close with a benediction at the end. Let's stand together and sing 794.